I will never remember the name of our committee, I don't think. We have in front of us two sets of amendments today for the Senate Bill 1028, the A5s and the A6s. As we, I apologize for the short time you've had the amendments. We have not had them very long ourselves. As always in special session, we work on very tight timelines. I would like to hear, we will open a public hearing. I'd like to have you keep your comments basically directed at A5 amendments. That is the amendment that I am inclined to adopt. So we have the A6s here. We could possibly do some melding of those two, but I'm afraid that may be moving a little faster than what I think we need to do right now at this point in time, and kind of set some finality to the third tier look. So with that, do we have a list? Okay, I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1028, the A5 amendment. Does anyone want to testify? Jim?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jim Green representing the Oregon School Boards Association. With regard to Senate Bill 1028, A5, and also some comments on A6, parts that you find in A5 were ones that we and some other public employers requested, specifically the crediting of earnings to Tier 1 member accounts on page 2 that carries over to page 3. Essentially, what that would do is to say, which is different than the A2s, is to say, the assumed earnings rate, which right now is 8%. By the way, most people believe there's an 8% guarantee in statute. There is not. It's what the assumed earnings rate is. Right now, that's 8%. It's been 5.5, raised to 6, 6.5, 7, 7.5, and now we're at 8. So when you hear about the 8% guarantee in statute, it doesn't exist. The guarantee is for the assumed earnings rate. What we're saying is because of the deficit due to the payment that we've had to make to Tier 1 to guarantee the 8, we believe that that deficit reserve ought to be paid in full before they credit to Tier 1 members anything above 8. That's currently in statute. But what the A2s did was to say, and you can never pay any more than 8. We believe if you pay that deficit reserve off and you can get the account, the gain-loss reserve account, to zero when all Tier 1 members would retire, that that's fiscally prudent. And should you get to that point, the board has the flexibility, the PERS board has the flexibility to pay more than 8. But we believe that until that time, if there are earnings in excess of 8, it ought to go to pay off the deficit, and it ought to go to fund the gain-loss reserve, which funds that 8% guarantee in the years which it doesn't. The first part of the bill, which is a third-tier successor retirement plan, that does cause at least the Oregon School Boards Association a little bit of concern. One is it's the world of the unknown. You require the next legislative session to create a system, and we don't know what that system could be. It could be more costly than the current system we have. It could be less costly. It could have more bells and whistles than the current system has. One of the things that we have always had a concern about is the recruitment of folks into the system. When folks graduate from college that are going on to be teachers, one of the last things on their mind generally is the retirement plan they're going to see. The first thing through most surveys is, how much am I going to make and what does my health insurance look like? It's not until they've been into the system for about 10 years do they start looking at their retirement accounts. One of the problems we have right now is we are going to have a severe shortage of teachers and administrators in this state in the next 8 to 10 years due to a large share of our workforce is coming up upon retirement age. We need to be able to recruit folks from other states. One of the things that causes a little bit of problem in doing that is, will we create a plan that has the portability built into it? Will we create a plan that allows for folks from the private sector to come into the public sector and bring their retirement plan along with it? So while we believe there ought to be discussions around that, we believe that's happening both with the House's task force and the governor's task force. We don't believe in this special session it's time to go ahead and scrap and require the next special session or the next session of the legislature to create that third system without some parameters in there. We have offered suggestions to both task forces on what those parameters should be, and we're happy to offer those to you as well. With regard to the legislators' retirement plan, That's not one we have a real issue with. The governor's retirement plan, that's something for you to take a look at. The expedited judicial review, however, is one issue that I know there are folks that have a lot of concerns about. And one of the concerns that we have about it in the situation we find ourselves in is we're school districts. And guess what? We don't fall under the ballot measure 30 for unfunded mandates. And should someone bring a case against the PERS system or against anyone under this, and there are damages due, the cities and counties and other special districts may be able to make the case, wait a second, legislature, you just handed us an unfunded mandate by doing that. And the bill may be back on you folks to pay it, but with school districts, that argument can't be made. We do not fall under the unfunded mandates part of ballot measure 30, which was approved by the voters of Oregon. I know the Supreme Court has questions with regard to special masters being appointed and cost associated with it, but our concern is if there's a lawsuit filed, we want to know who has to pay those damages, because we saw in 1995 who had to pay those damages. House Bill 3349 was given to us, and that required us to pay it when the taxes came to the state of Oregon. And that has great concern. One of the things we've always said is if you're going to create any type of system or any type of changes, be sure that you can legally do it. Don't create any type of situation where if it comes back and it comes back to bite us in a couple of years, it's going to be costly for public employers and for taxpayers ultimately. One of the other issues in the A6s that we have always advocated for and believe is one of the things that could put some cost containments on the system as it currently sits today is elimination of the money match for new hires. You cannot do it for people that are currently in the system. The Supreme Court has stated that. The Attorney General has stated that. I believe your own legislative counsel would tell you the same thing. You can only do it prospectively. One of the reasons that we're in the hole we're in is because the money match came up and, according to the actuary for PERS, bit us. It was in statute. People knew about it or forgot about it, and all of a sudden it came back to bite us. And we believe that eliminating the money match would be one of the things you could do for new hires that could put some cost savings into the plan. The reason for that is if nothing happens next session with regard to the revamping of a system or creating some sort of new system, that is one thing we believe that could put a significant cost savings into the plan for taxpayers and public employers. With regard to the other parts of the A6, we believe with regard to the crediting of Tier 1, which, by the way, I guess in the interest of full disclosure, I am a Tier 1 member. My wife is a Tier 1 member. She wasn't particularly happy when I told her what we were doing. But I believe that it's probably best for the system. When you have a system that guarantees 8%, when the system lost 11%, there is something wrong with that system. We had to come up with $5.6 billion to fund that 8% guarantee. That's in statute. It's a contract according to the language of the Supreme Court, and we believe that that's a debt that needs to be paid, but we believe it ought to be paid as earnings to the system occur. One of the other things you'll see in the A5 is that deficit reserve in statute requires it to be paid in 5 years. Well, we've already clicked off 3 years of that five-year payback. We're 2 years from having to pay back that $5 plus billion, and according to the actuary, according to everyone that I talk to in the market, we're not going to be able to make that up. We're asking that you extend that to 10 years. We believe in 10 years the market will probably rebound. You know, the market's cyclical just like everything else, and we believe in 10 years we'll be able to do that. But we have a call in 2 years on $5 billion. And I don't believe there's going to be the money to make up that $5 billion. And if you read the statute now, there's no reason or rhyme for where that money comes from. PERS has some ideas on who has to pay that. We believe we ought to take a look at 10 years because that's about the time the market should have the ability to rebound back and pay the system in full. What we're requesting is let's credit 8 when we have to credit 8, let's sock it away when it earns more than 8, and let's also eliminate the money match for new hires. That's in anticipation of the next session not doing anything. If you're going to create a successor system, we believe you should take a little time, work through the task forces. I know Representative Canope is working on a significant amount. He's got people around the table that are involved in it. The governor has folks around the table that are involved, and we're willing to come to those. We're part of those and talk about it. But to put it on to the next session, we're not confident that the system that would be designed is something that would save taxpayers and ultimately public employers money. And in lieu of that, we would like to see the elimination of the money match for new hires. We believe that can save significant amounts of dollars. One of the other things, and not something that this committee is dealing with, but when you take a look at school district budgets, a larger and larger portion of our budgets go to pay personnel costs than we have ever experienced in the past. That's due to our PERS rates going up and also due to health insurance costs going up. And when we start putting money into those, which we believe we have to do, we want to take care of our employees, we want to pay them a good wage, we want to have good benefits for them, but we're not able to put the money into the classroom and get direct services to kids the way we know we should. So we would like some help with that, and I believe a melding of the fives and sixes would be one way to do that. But again, we do have some concerns with regard to just scrapping a system, putting no parameters around it, not telling the next legislature what to do with it. I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Jim. Of course, you know that we can't tell the next legislature what to do, period. We could build a third tier now with the A6s or parts of it, and the next legislature could come in and change it anyway. Correct?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. You can't bind a future legislature, and they can unbind the things that you've done by acts, except for under the ideas of the Supreme Court in the Hughes case, the contracts part with regard to benefits that are due. And we believe that you can contain costs under some of these measures that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, I point that out that whereas the A5s do say there will be a new system and no membership in the PERS will happen, I think by establishing the third tier, which is what the A6s do, the money match does, we would be going against what I said yesterday and the day before, that we want to take time and have all parties at the table when that third tier is created. Because what that does is it takes the impetus off the next legislative session to do anything. They can simply say, we have a third tier. And the task force and the parties coming together and coming up with an agreement goes away at that point in time.
Well, Mr. Chair, one of the things, if you'll note on the A6s, it's not an immediate implementation of the elimination of the money match. That was purposely done. It's January 1, 2004.
I know that.
That's purposely done in order to allow for the discussion of what are the ramifications of it, and we believe we know what the ramifications are, but we also believe that at that point, if there was anything that was done that violated contracts cases or that was done unintentionally through conforming amendments, perhaps, that you have the ability through the next session to fix that. But barring something not coming out of the next session, not knowing what the numbers look like for who controls which side of the legislature and who may be governor, we may get to a standstill with regard to PERS. And we believe there is something that needs to be done. This is something that we believe can be done to put containment costs around the system as it currently stands without damaging the contract rights of folks that are currently in the system.
Appreciate your point of view on that. I think you and I will differ personally on that. And I would like to just for the record state, we had a section in the bill as it was voted on the Senate floor, Section 5 of that bill, which laid out what this legislative session's intent for the successor plan would be. And when we do something here, I'm going to ask legislative counsel to draft that into the Section 3 that is in the A5s to give more idea what this legislature is looking for in a successor plan. And I think that will help give some direction, and it will reference the Speaker's task force. Thank you for your input.
Thank you.
For the record, Brian DeLashmet, representing the same clients as before, and the PERS Coalition. Let me correct one thing that the previous speaker indicated, that we're 3 years into the deficit. We're 3 years of negative earnings, but we're not 3 years into the deficit. The deficit, my understanding, and you can clarify this with the PERS staff, occurred near the end of the second year of the negative earnings. So we're approximately a year to year and a half into deficit in the unfunded liability of the gain-loss reserve. That does not place us 2 years from the call that they're trying to get changed to 10 years. It places us somewhere between 3 and 3.5 years between that. And so I think that's an important clarification. If you're looking at changing that to 10 years, there is multiple sessions between now and the time that we would understand that we're continuing to be in deficit and the market hasn't made a correction sufficient to fill that gap. I would caution you against moving that artificially based upon the market at this point being in 3 years of decline, but the gain-loss reserve not being 3 years in deficit at this point. So that does not kick in at this point. It's one clarification.
Thank you, Brian.
The second thing I guess I'd like to say is the same thing that I've been saying all along. You're ending a system. I see some direction in the dash fours or the dash fives and the dash sixes as to what you would like to see replacing the system. But you're ending a system without an establishment of a new system. And we would continue to have a problem with that. Nothing changes with the fives from the ones or the twos or the original bill. We still have a major problem with the signal that you're sending and also with the ending of a system without a replacement system in place. Horrible, horrible recruitment tool. I know that Jim talked about teachers from other states. I've heard this repeatedly as it relates to the nursing shortage. You cannot get people to come to work in public sector from private sector in Oregon because of the instability in the signals that you're sending right now with PERS. There is absolutely no way you would recruit nurses from out of state in public service to come to public service in this state. You would have the same problem with police officers, whether it's line officers or police chiefs. They already have that problem in recruiting police chiefs to come to the state. I think we're, again, headed in the wrong direction. I think there's already a mechanism. There's two mechanisms in place to talk about this. I think we're getting hasty, and we would object to the fives and the sixes.
You, Senator Story, have a question?
Just a comment. You think we're getting hasty? Because we've had these for 20 minutes now before we're going to adopt them. So I don't know that, I mean, hasty is a strong word.
Well,
that
does,
that doesn't require comment.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me off the hook and not comment.
Is there anyone else that would like to testify at this time? Steve and David, you want to come up? And Dallas, once you three chairs, or once you come up too. Why don't you go ahead and state your names for the record so we get that taken care of.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Steve Delaney, PERS Legislative Liaison.
And I'm Dave Hendricks, Senior Deputy Legislative Counsel.
Dallas Wynn, the Legislative Fiscal Office.
Thank you. Dallas, will you finish with you real quick? We have a fiscal here on the A2s.
Those are the old amendments.
Do we have? I assume there's not much change.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, looking over the A5s and A6s that you have before you, there wouldn't be much change or tweaking of the language. I would point out that the A6 is a standalone, would keep everything within PERS and probably add additional processing costs because it creates the Tier 3 within the existing system, whereas the A5 would allow the legislature to possibly have a new plan outside of PERS.
Okay.
But other than that, not much difference.
Okay, thank you. With regards to the A5s and the changing the time of the payback from 5 years to 10 years, Steve, could you comment from PERS' perspective on that change?
Mr. Chair, I did confirm that Milliman USA does not include the call of the deficit in setting rates for employers, so it is not an issue when it comes to employer rates. I would like to briefly explain how we anticipate the call would work so you understand the process. Normally, under our understanding of it, we have to say we've never reached the point of needing a call, so there are a lot of questions. And I want to clarify that there are a lot of questions still remaining regarding what would actually occur at the end of 5 years with a deficit account. When a deficit account is is incurred, and we do have our first one. The year 2001, a deficit account was created. We would anticipate that we will set up another deficit account for 2002. In future years, when earnings are good, PERS would distribute 8% to the member, and then any remaining excess from the member and from the employer would go to pay off those deficits. At the end of 5 years, our anticipation is that the call would then move that the entire obligation to the employer at that point. Changing it to 10 years, you extend the time period in which both members and employers are having earnings drawn to pay off the deficit. Now, under this bill, that's a moot point. I just point out to how it would exist under current statute. Under this bill, you're limiting member accounts to 8%. So it really is a moot point because you've already said in this bill, even if there are excess dollars, they go either to pay off the deficit or to fully fund a gain-loss reserve. So I want you to understand how the process would work without this bill. There's this sharing by members and employers in paying off the deficit until the call. Under this bill, with the limit of 8%, it becomes a moot point.
Dave, you look like you would make a comment.
Well, Chair Beyer, I'm not quite sure that's true. Because if you look, and Steve's only had this new language for 20 minutes, so he hasn't had a chance to look at it terribly closely. If you look at the language on page 3, at the top of the page, which addresses, and I'm looking at the A5 amendments, if you look at what we're saying here about crediting of Tier 1 member accounts, what we're saying is that, A, you cannot get earnings in excess of the assumed interest rate until two things happen. And the first one is the reserve account established under subsection 1 of this section no longer has a deficit. So What that does is preserves the status quo with respect to the what we're calling the call, the 5-year or the 10-year if you amend the bill. If the call occurs, there is no longer a deficit. And at that point, the employee would once again be relieved of the obligation to pay amounts over 8% towards relieving the deficit.
That is correct. I do stand corrected.
So this doesn't change the status quo, assuming that that is what this language in fact means. And that this whole, I would add too, that never having opportunity to ever find out what would happen after 5 years in a deficit, there are a lot of questions, and it really requires more extensive legal research than we've had time to really give to this to be able to tell for absolute sure what's going to happen at that point. And what I would say is that I don't think that this language in subsection 2 changes what would happen with, you know, under the existing language. Whatever that sentence means, it means it, and this will not change it. If the assumption is correct that in fact at the end of the 5 years it all becomes the employer's obligation, then stretching it out to 10 years would pain the situation with the employee earnings over 8% going to pay off. Yep.
Okay. And I concur. It was the A2 version that would have made the question mute. With this change, that is correct.
Thank you. Dave, your Section 3 of the A5s, and I apologize for not catching this yesterday when we're looking at the A2s, but I would prefer to see language similar to Section 5 of the bill, the bill that was voted on the floor, the A and Gross bill, to be added into that section, so that we reference what we think that this legislative session anticipates the successor plan would look like.
Chair Beyer, that will be an easy addition to make.
Okay. Any other questions yes, Senator Decker?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one for you, Steve. About a year ago when we did Senate Bill 134, one of the points that you guys made that I thought was a very good one was we've rendered the system somewhat indecipherable to PERS. And one of the points that I thought made the most sense that y'all made was by doing bits and pieces by prior legislative assemblies, we've kind of cobbled together systems spackled here that have unintended consequences, which our first testifier made that point. And I'm wondering the direction that we're going, if that gives you pause, that here we come with another little change, tweak here, which there seems to be a little bit of a misunderstanding or disagreement. If that gives you guys some pause as to here we go again, making quick segment changes rather than what the task force are doing, which is looking at the entire system and trying to come up with a system that does make sense and work.
Senator Decker, you just, you know, fulfilled my arguments for the first bill on the floor. Would you like to send it back to floor? Would you change your vote to the 16?
I'm hoping to hear from Steve and see what his answer to this question, to my question is.
Go ahead, Steve.
Mr. Chair, Senator Deckard, at PERS we always have take a pause when legislation is being proposed about PERS, because you're correct. There have been many changes made through the years, and it has been difficult for PERS to discern at times. But we are prepared to administer whatever you as a legislature deliver to us. We will continue to come to you to pose questions about the meaning, such as I did yesterday with regard to the language on removing the 0%, which has now been restored. That's helpful to us to get direction.
One other, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Do you know offhand, has the Attorney General had a chance to review these amendments? Or is there someone from the Attorney General's office here?
Chair Barr, Senator Deckard, these were finished last night at like 9 o'clock, so the first they've been made public was this morning at the hearing.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Before we adopt any amendments, I'm going to take a brief recess so we can understand more fully what we're going to do. So we will be in recess until 10 o'clock. Okay. Well, in response to Senator Deckard's concerns about having only seen the amendments for 20 minutes and the fact that we need to make a few changes in the amendments, I'm not going to move a bill today. I'd ask Dave to redraft an amendment that deletes the going to 10 years on the payback of the deficit to include the provision from Section 5 of the Ingross bill, and we will meet again after we have those amendments to look them over and make some decisions. So with that, we're adjourned.